heard the pages of the hymn books rattling, and I was waiting for a hymn to be given out, but the time is going here. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin or have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if or since we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead or has died is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. In verse 1 we read these words, the question, shall we continue in sin? Have you ever come to a point in your life where your answer to this question would have been yes? There seems to be no other way. Habit so ingrained, sin so powerful, willpower, there's just not enough will, there's not enough power. Trying to do the best you can just won't cut it. The power of sin. Shall we continue in sin? We get some tremendous principles in this chapter that I'll tell you, when I was a young Christian, and there were times when I thought, you know, I just can't get over this. Habits in my life. Sin that I wanted to change, but couldn't. I'll tell you, Romans 6 was a tremendous help. And I hope it'll be a help to someone today. And I'll tell you this, as I've been looking over this, thinking about the meeting, the conference, I can see that there's principles in chapter 6 I need to apply in my own life, even though I've been saved so many years now. What's the answer to this? This problem of sin that every one of us who is saved today, we struggle with. Don't you struggle with sin? Every day. Is there an answer? So So beginning chapter 6 here, we're dealing with the power of sin. Interesting, the chapters leading up to this deal with the problem, the penalty of sin. Well, what's the answer to the penalty of sin? We'll likely hear this in the gospel tonight. It's that Christ died for us. Chapter 5, right? Christ died. What's the answer to the problem of the power of sin? We died with Christ. We died with Christ. It isn't willpower. Now, some people do amazingly well, and I marvel that they can live lives they do. And there are others that try self-help programs and other kinds of programs. But I know for me, what was the greatest help of all was what we get in chapter 6, when I realized I don't have to keep yielding and being a slave of sin. Because as far as God is concerned, and the real reality is, I died. The day I put my trust in the Lord Jesus, knew so little about the gospel, but yet God in his mercy reached down and saved me, lost and helpless. That day, Larry Perkins died. Verse 2 says, you know, the answer to the question, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. No way. How shall we who have died to sin, live any longer therein? Now, verses 3, 4, 5 give the picture of what I've been talking about, the picture of baptism. And baptism is a picture of our identification with the Lord Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And what I'm saying, what happened to him on the cross? The moment a person puts their trust in him, they come into the good of that. When I trusted Christ, God says, saw me as having died. Just as Christ was buried and rose again, we come into the good of that too. Let me just ask this. Maybe there's somebody here and you've been saved, but have you been baptized? You say, well, not yet. You know, the Lord Jesus wasn't ashamed to be identified with you and me and our sin when he was on the cross. Is it possible that we're ashamed to be identified with him here in this world where he's still rejected? Tremendous thing to be able to acknowledge that we belong to the Lord Jesus through baptism. But now down in verse 6, beginning in verse 6, I want to look at three principles that show how this all works. And God wants us to lay hold of these things. And brother, sister, maybe especially the young, if sin is a problem to you, and I don't know how it can't be a problem to anybody, but I hope this will be a help. Notice verse 6. Knowing this. Here's the first. We're going to look at three verbs. The first one is knowing. God wants us to know something. What is it? That our old man literally was crucified with him. Our old man, what's that? All that we were as a sinner in Adam, before we were saved, came to an end the moment we trusted Christ. Our old man was crucified with him. Why? So that the body of sin, that these bodies under the control of sin, might be destroyed. Now that word destroyed doesn't mean what we usually think of the word destroy. It has this is a tremendous help to me. It means to be reduced to inactivity, to be deprived of power, to be put out of business. You hear what God's saying here? That because of our link with the Lord Jesus, this body under the control of sin has been put out of business. We have new ownership now. We don't have to be pushed around by sin. It's not our master anymore. Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. God doesn't want us to be slaves of sin any longer. So this is what he wants us to know in verse 6. And then verse 7 says, for he that is dead, he that has died, is freed from sin. You know, there's tremendous power in the Word of God. Tremendous power. Isn't that how we were saved? Being born again by the Word of God. But we need the Word of God as believers to live in the good of it. Verse 7. For he that has died is freed from sin. You know, the analogy is often given about an alcoholic. And just suppose there's an alcoholic now and he gets involved in a very serious car accident and he's charged with driving under the influence. And maybe he's even in jail with some serious damage, injury. But the next day, the alcoholic dies, has a heart attack. Because he died, he's free from the penalty, the DUI and everything that's facing him, but he's also free from the power of alcohol. God wants us to realize that positionally, this is how he looks at it. We've died. To the penalty of sin, we've died to the power of it. And in verse 8, it says, if we've died with Christ, we shall also live with him. It's not only that we died with him, but we share in his resurrection as well. We'll get into that in just a minute. We'll look down at verse 11. This is the second verb I want to look at. And probably it's this verse that has been more of a help to me, or was many years ago at least, when I was struggling so much. Verse 11. Well, back to verse 10. Speaking about the Lord Jesus. For in that he died unto sin once. Christ dealt with sin in his death. Now he's done with it. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that word reckon doesn't mean to suppose. It means to consider, to rely on, to count on. And somebody has said, the word deals with reality, not fantasy. And somebody said that if you reckon that you have $100 in the bank, you really do. It's not just wishful thinking. So what God is saying here, he wants us to reckon, to count on the fact, what does it say? Likewise, reckon also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now what's this all mean? You know, a person can hear the facts of the gospel, how we're sinners, Christ died for our sins, but they know it, but they've never really appropriated, taken it for themselves, and they've never really rested in that truth. To me, I see somewhat the same principle here. Verse 6, God wants us to know, we've been crucified with Christ. Verse 11, he says, now count on it. Reckon. When sin comes knocking at the door, count on yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Just like that alcoholic. Once he died, whiskey has no power over him. By faith, we need to live in the good of what God has said is true. Dead to sin, alive unto God. That is, respond to God. Do what he wants. How? In our own power? Again, by willpower? No, because we're linked with the Lord Jesus, not only in his death, but also in his resurrection. The Apostle Paul lived in the good of this. Galatians 2, 20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And this life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a Savior. I'm glad he died for me. I'm glad he lives for me. It's all about him. Paul said, and yet not I, but Christ. So verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. See, we have a choice. We have a choice here, really, who we're going to serve. And that brings us to verse 13, and here's the third verb. The first principle, verse 6, knowing this, that a old man was crucified with him. Verse 11, the second, reckon ye yourselves to be dead to sin and so on. Now, verse 13 involves the word yield. Neither yield ye your members, that is the parts of our bodies, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield. Same word that we read about in chapter 12 here, verse 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that doesn't have to be some big scary thing like some religions teach, that you have to, you know, torment yourself, torture yourself. It's just giving yourself to God. Isn't that the only reasonable thing to do? We are no match for Satan's power. No match. But to yield ourselves to God and let him do what we can't do. And if you're saved today, don't you have a little desire to want to please the Lord, to whom we owe everything? We can't do it ourselves. But if we yield ourselves to God, he can do what we can never do. The members, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Parts of our body. What we see, what we hear, what we say, what we do, where we go. Am I willing to yield that to him? Serve him. Let him have his way in my life. Or am I going to do my own thing? And really, even though I belong to him, I'm serving sin more than I am the Lord. In chapter 13, Paul writes, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. One translation puts it like this. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. I'm going to say that again. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. We don't have to do that anymore. When sin comes knocking at the door, we need to shut the door. Yielding to God. Not by any strength in us, but because of our link with the Lord Jesus. Now, the last section here, with this I'm going to close. The question is, who are we serving, sin or God? Verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. We are slaves, servant slaves, that's the word here. We are slaves to what we yield to. The Lord brings that out in John chapter 8. He said, he that commits sin is the servant or the slave of sin. What's the result of being a slave to sin? Well, in verse 21 it says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. I'll tell you what the fruit is. There's shame, there's regret, there's emptiness, and if a person isn't saved, it's ultimately death. And isn't it interesting, in our society, so many seem to have an obsession with death? Music? Movies? The way some people dress? Death-oriented. Now, once we were the servants of sin, verse 17, but verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, You have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. What's the result of being a servant to God? Holiness. A separated life. A life that's pleasing to the Lord. Now again, this isn't some high bar that you and I can never jump over. The Lord's told us in the beginning of the chapter how it's possible. It's because of our identification with Christ and his death and his resurrection. We've died, but he lives in us now. And it's yielding to him. And it's laying hold of the word of God. You know, I remember times in my life, especially when I was first saved, it's like sin was screaming in my mind and my being, and Satan there too, you know, to succumb to sin. Because that's the way I'd lived for so long. And it seemed there's no way to stop that cycle. Except the power of the Word of God says, I've died. I've got a new master now. Count on the fact that you've died to sin. Alive to God. You say, well, I've tried it, and, you know, I'm still going down the tube. Listen, Satan might get the better of you today. But don't give up. Don't give up. Because, my friend, sin leads to sin. More and more depravity. Sooner or later, if you mean business, if you love the Lord and you don't want to be a servant to sin, practically, he'll deliver you. The Lord didn't just die on the cross to save us from going to hell. He's the living Christ. And he wants to deliver us, to preserve us. And what he did on the cross has eternal value. It has eternal it has value in your life and my life today. So what's the fruit of the result of being a servant to God? He says you have your fruit unto holiness. Living a life that's pleasing to him, but also in the end, everlasting life. There's satisfaction now and forever. But not only that, but in a coming day, the one who died to deliver us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, is going to deliver us from its very presence. Hallelujah. I can hardly wait. I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus. But I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to being free from the struggle against sin. So, in conclusion, shall we continue in sin? Shall you continue in sin? What's he say? How shall we who have died to sin, in Christ? Three things again, just to wrap up. God wants us to lay hold of. First of all, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ. Secondly, verse 11, reckon, count on the fact that we've died to sin, but that we're alive to God in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ our Lord. But then thirdly, verse 13, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You know, brother, sister, the Lord has made it possible for you and me to serve him, no matter who we are, no matter what our past is. He's made it possible because of our identification with Christ, his identification with us, and his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, Joshua put it this way at the end of his life. Choose you this day who you will serve.